I let go of these idols, of the stuff that I rely on, that's when Jesus starts breaking through in our lives. And I've been there. My wife is my witness. She's been with me for 20 years. Praise her and the Lord for staying with me, because I'm not the easiest guy to live with. Don't laugh so loud, Kate, my daughter. But we do, because we are, you know what it comes down to? Lovers of self. We want to make sure that we get looked after. I want to make sure that I'm okay. And what does the Bible say in Timothy? 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, it says, in the end times, the days are coming. And I think we are living there right now. Where it says, people, don't you want to put that up on the board for me? Sorry, Rob. 2 Timothy 3. Sorry, I'm totally off, like going off memory. Verse 1, I think it is. Verse 1 till about 6, 7. And this is the times that we are living in. I truly, truly believe it. And that's why I'm feeling this morning, Jesus wants to shift things. This morning as I was preparing, I felt God is going to change mindsets and shift hearts and calibrate hearts. You guys know what that means? A calibration, recalibrate, we're just a little bit off. So, you know, if you're starting on a journey, you're starting to walk on a journey, and if where you start, you are 1 degree off, do you know what's going to happen when you are 10 steps in? So this is the way, I'm 1 degree off. That's the way. So think about 10 years from now, how far am I going to be off the right road that God wants me to walk on? And that's why I'm feeling God is recalibrating our hearts, even our minds this morning, recalibrating. And this is what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. So listen, I'm not into a lot of news things, but if you are not understanding what's going on around the world, then bless your soul, because then you're not on social media and you don't watch the news. What's going on in the rest of this world? Who feels that? It's terrible times we're living in. It's terrible. Things are going crazy. There's wars. There's rumors of wars. There's earthquakes. Almost every day there's earthquakes. There's all these things happening. And Jesus says, don't be alarmed when that happens. Just know, I'm on my way back. AI is taking over. The robots are going to take my job. No, they're not. It's okay. But who's had a bit of a moment going, what are my kids going to do one day? We've had it. We've had to go like, what am I going to do one day? AI is going to take over everything. Even a plumber, you're not safe. Because a robot's going to do it much better than what you can. Again, what do we rely on? But mark this, terrible times in the last days. And we are living in the last days. Jesus is coming soon. He is coming soon. And he's coming for a pure and spotless bride. But then it says this, people will be lovers of themselves. So I want to quickly just put this in perspective. And you guys have heard me preach this. This is not to the lost and the broken and the world out there that this is written to. This is written to the church. This is written to you and to me. Because it's easy to go, yeah, look at the world. They, of course, they're lovers. They have to be. They don't know Jesus. They're living for themselves in any case. They're living for one pleasure after the next. They're living for multiple relationships. And how do I pleasure myself? And how do I sort myself? And how do I... That's what they live for. This is for us as the body of Christ, as those that follow Jesus. People will be lovers of themselves. I want to say, David, that self-denial, it's not just the value. Steph and I were talking about this, and he's going to prepare a preach. Sorry, Steph, I just put you on the spot. It's not just the value, it's a virtue. Denying yourself is a virtue. Denying yourself is a fruit that comes out of your life from following Jesus, from the Holy Spirit coming in and saying, not your way. How do you deny yourself? It's not just when there's cake that you go, I'm not eating the cake because I'm off sugar. Amen? It starts there. It might start there for some of us. denying yourself is going, God, it's not about me. How do I follow you in everything? When I find the wisdom of counsel of many, when I bring something and leaders that God has put over you says, hey, I don't think this is the way to go. I think God is saying, do this. And you go, cool. But then you do this. What are you doing? You're just following yourself, following what you're wanting to do. We can't tell you what to do. It's your life. But the ways of God is different. The ways of God is in such a place that he says, I have put men over you. Not that they rule you with an iron fist. Please, if anybody, if any elder or leader ever tells you what to do, say, I'm not doing that. We can't tell you what to do. We can only find the heart of God. And if you know us as men and as women, you know we only want the best for you. And will we get it wrong? 100%. Who's been hurt by leaders? My hand is up 17 times. I had to forgive them. And I want to say, if you've been hurt by a leader or in church, forgive and move on. Because that thing will hold you back. And I'm not going to do a preach on that. Andrew did an incredible preach on that. Go watch it. Let go. Let go and trust God. Lovers of self. Again, why do you hold on to unforgiveness? Because it's about me. I got hurt. I need to hold on to that. Let go. Trust God. Believe God. Let go. Lovers of money. I don't have to say, we know. Guys, my thoughts get consumed about how am I going to pay my bills every single month. Who's there? How am I going to pay my bills? Like, how do I get more money? I've got to let go. I've got to say, God, I trust you. I don't know how it's going to work. But I trust you that you will come through, that you will bring the breakthrough. And every single month, God does, because he knows what we need. Who's got testimony after testimony after testimony after about that? Who still, even with those testimony, goes, you can see my hand still up, eh? We have to get to that point where we lay those things down and we say, God, we trust you. Don't be lovers of money. Money's not the problem. But the love of money is the root of all evil. And money is probably one of the biggest idols that you can grip your heart. If you've got finances, amazing. Praise you. Jesus even says to you, in your richness, be humble. Be humble in your richness. Because finances is here today and it's gone tomorrow. We have had much and we have had little. And to learn to be content in every season of life, that's what it's about. Don't let money grip your heart. Don't run after money. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Does that make sense? Boastful, proud. So those two things, I want to say, those things creep into our lives, into our emotions, into who we are so quickly. Hey, look what God did through me. Hey, ooh, I prayed for that person and he got healed. Ooh, I led that person to the Lord. Ooh, I closed that massive deal. I raised my kids so good. I don't let my kids watch iPad or play on. How quickly do those things come in? And something I've realized is that motives and hidden little things sneak into our lives, sneak into our hearts, and the devil just fans that thing into flame. Without you knowing, someone comes to you. Man, you raise your kids so well. Man, you are the one that prays the best prayers in church. Again, who's he writing to? Pride. I can do it. I can do it. I know how to do this thing. It's pride comes in our hearts. Pride is built on self-reliance. Pride is built on I know best. I've learned through my life, I was such a proud, arrogant little thing. Always thought I knew best. Overconfident. The Bible says, do not think more highly of yourself than what you ought to. I thought I was the bee's knees. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Humble. How do you come into a room? How do you come in? I don't know always. I don't know what the answers are. I don't know how to. But hey, can I maybe lay something at your feet? What about this? That's humble. That's not coming in like, hey, guys, let me tell you what the answer is. Let me tell you how to do. What are we doing? Even if you know the answer, I think I might potentially, possibly, maybe understand something about this. Can I maybe just, it's a heart posture. It's how we posture our hearts. Again, these things become idols. Connect the dots of what God is busy doing in our hearts this morning. He's saying, lay these things down. I want to be your everything. Because these are the things that takes us and pulls us away from the Lord. You guys still with me? I do. I can sense God is busy even speaking to me. I'm like, I'm going to go repent now in a minute or two. Again, who do we speak to about here? It's in the church. Abusive. We've got to be so careful in the kingdom of God that we don't abuse our authority, abuse what Jesus gives us, abuse the grace that he's given us, the mercy that he gives us. Because you know we can abuse those things. And how do we do that? How do we abuse? We just doing our own thing. I've got grace, so I can go sleep around. God's grace is there for me. Whoa. What have you just done? That's not grace. That's a false grace. I can get away with my taxes. I can get away with this. If you are managing something in your life right now, I've got this, guys. Don't worry, I can manage this. If there's sin in your life and you go, no, I'm in control of it. I can drink one beer a night. You're abusing the grace of God. You're abusing the mercy of the Lord. And again, you've got to find drinking alcohol's not a sin. Getting drunk is a sin. And if you go, I can manage this. Anything you're trying to manage in your life, in a sense of you, you're abusing the grace of God. And you're abusing the mercy of the Lord. So when we think abuse, we think like something's been done against me. But how do we abuse others? Abuse your profile, who God has made you, in the workplace, in church. Again, we are humble. We serve one another. We don't abuse. Does that make sense? I felt the Lord on that one. Disobedient to parents. All the kids are in kids' church, so we can just skip over that one. This is where all the parents go, bring back the kids, man. Come on. Like, they got to obey us. Like, leister for my booty. No, man. What does the Bible speak about there? That word, parents, there? You know what that word is? I don't know what the Greek word is, but I'll tell you what it means in English. It means leadership. It means those that God has put over you. Those that the Lord has put over you. And again, we only obey our leaders in the Lord. So I'm talking in a church context here. And leaders, I want to say, you do not have the right to tell people what to do, rule with an iron fist, all of that. We are there to serve. We are there to lay our lives down, to come alongside you, to walk a road with you. But I want to say, flip that thing around. The Bible is so clear. In Hebrews, it says, obey your leaders. Obey them. Make their life a joy. Make it easy for them. And I'm not preaching this because someone is making it hard for me at the moment. Just don't worry. This is not in a reaction to anything. Honestly, it's for your sake. Obey your leaders. Trust God. Follow them. Because God put them over you. It's the way of the Lord. Don't be disobedient. Does that make sense? And please don't do it for us. We are nothing. We, as elders, deacons, those that God has put in place, we are nothing. We are the worst of the worst. We're finding our feet. We're finding the Lord. Somehow God has graced us. Somehow God has put something in us that we are finding Him. We come together daily and the Bible says, hey, elders, watch yourselves. There's a stricter judgment. I'm going to stand in front of the Lord one day and give an account for this moment that I'm standing right here. I had a moment now, 5 minutes before I started, where I could have gone, hey, James, you're up. But I knew that I knew that I knew God wanted me to do this. And can I be very honest with you? I was leaning towards this way because it's easier. Live in the light. Obey your leaders. Come walk with them. We are not special people. We eat and poop just like you do. Just want to, you know, okay? Just putting it out there. Just like Queen Elizabeth does. Not anymore. She died. Sorry. She died. But the Queen also did that. So, yeah. Okay. Not that we're worried about the Queen. Ungrateful, unholy. What is the next ones? Sorry, I just want to. Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So all those things, I can go into every single one of them, but I think you guys are getting the picture of what God's busy doing. Am I right? So this morning, I really feel God is calibrating our hearts. And it ends off, don't even go to that, rather lovers of God. I think it's one, there we go. Lovers of pleasure, rather lovers of God. That phrase, lovers of God, that's what it's all about. Lovers of God, fully devoted to Him. And not your leaders saying, come do this, do that. It's like, no, I devote myself. The early church did that. They devoted themselves to God and to God's ways and to the things that the God wanted them to do. Fully lovers of God, obeying Him, trusting Him, following Him. Lord, what do you want me to do? I can't hear. Okay, let me go find a leader. What do you think God wants me to do? I don't know. Let's pray together. Let's find the heart of the Lord for you. That's the ways of God. That's how the Lord works. If you don't know, come. Let's find together. If we've got to pray and fast with you and find the Lord, that's why God has put us in a community of this. And that's what God's busy doing this morning in our hearts. And that thing what Joshua said, it's a choice. I want to end with this. It's a choice. God is saying today for us, choose today what you're wanting to do. You can choose to love your wife or not love her. You know that? You can choose to raise your kids in a certain way or not. Might be a little bit more difficult, but it's your choice. You can choose to be honorable in your job, honorable in your taxes. It's your choice. But know that every choice you make, you will give an account for that one day. So this morning, I'm going to end right here. Choose today who you will follow. Choose today. Follow the Lord. I want to encourage you. The Bible says, encourage each other daily as the end draw near, that we can follow God, that we'll be lovers of God, that we'll rely on Him. And make that choice, because when we do that, we can see the life of God working through us. Amen? So, and please don't put your hand up, like, actually don't even want to know. But if God this morning has touched your heart, if you're feeling a calibration in your heart, if you're feeling, even in your mind, you're going, whoa, what is that? Like, you've got to shift your thinking, you've got to go, because that's what the Word of God does. It comes in and it actually renews our mind, renews our thinking. If God is doing that this morning, I want us to just take a moment and I want us to settle that in our lives, in our hearts and in our minds. And if you believe God is doing that, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to make you stand. I'm not going to make you put up your hand. I believe already God has done. But I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will empower us. Because we can't do it. It's not by our might. It's not by our strength. I can't now go, okay, I'm going to like, again, what am I doing? I'm just stepping back into that self-reliance. I'm going to like work at the, no, it's not that. It's surrendering. It's letting go. And it's saying, Holy Spirit, come give me the power to walk the way that you want me to walk. And if that is you, close your eyes. Just open your hands like you're receiving. And I want to pray a simple prayer. I feel like the Lord wants to do a simple prayer this morning for the Holy Spirit to come and live in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning you've truly come. It's an incredible thing, Lord, that we can stand in the presence of the Almighty. And that this